All right, go ahead. I am now recording.
Hello! Is this Paul the Shy Yeti?
Now it's time for the silliest podcast in the world. It's the Shy Life Podcast!
With me, Shy Yeti.
He's not that shy.
102. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Shy Life Podcast. How you doing? Yes, it's me, Paul Shy Yeti. Well, this episode we have a very special guest. What can I say? What shall I say? Well, he's another podcaster from Pride 48, although he's not currently doing his show. But listeners of Pod Is My Co-Pilot will most certainly hear his name on most episodes of the show. But no, it's not Taylor and it's not Rodan. No, I'm talking to Bubbaloo. Yes. So without further ado, I think we should run the theme music. Yes.
What's going to happen today?
Oh my God, it's enormous. It's the Shy Life Podcast.
The show is out of this world.
Oh dear, this isn't going to end well.
It's a very strange show indeed.
Oh, a million kisses, darling.
I asked for pies, that's all I asked for, pies.
My name is Travis from Not Whiskers, and I always listen to the Shy Life Podcast. And so does Oliver Louse, don't you, Oliver?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, always. Oh, yes, always listen, absolutely.
Those poor listeners, what have they done to deserve this, eh? Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Ah, you're back. Good. Well, this episode, as I say, our guest is Bubbaloo, and I hope you'll find it an interesting chat. We talk about favourite films, books, music, and all manner of subjects. So there will, of course, be some silly poems and a few of the regulars popping in. But no, let's get started, I think. Oh, yes.
Hello, Ick. Oh, dear, I was hoping to catch you. Well, Ick, dear, I just wanted to say that I hope you're watching out for my dear friend Bettina. You know I'm so worried about her and that Nathan, or whatever he is. Oh, I do wish there was something more I could do. Oh, Ick, I just thought of something. You know, there may be a way that I can prove that Nathan is the same alien that I had a romance with all those years ago. I don't know why I didn't think of it before. Oh, Ick, I've had many, many photos taken of my old Ashley and myself. Well, that'll prove to everyone that this Nathan is the same alien. Yes, I'll look at my old photos at once. All right, dear. Well, Ick, I hope you're well. I fear for you. Oh, dear. Well, call me when you can, dear. Oh, also, Ick, I just wanted to tell you. Well, this is the first time I've ever left a message on a phone for an alien from outer space. All right, dear. Bye-bye.
This time on the Shy Life Podcast, we've got a very special guest, another of our podcasters from Pride 48. It's Bubbaloo. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's good to speak to you.
Thank you.
What I thought we'd do is I've got 8 different numbers, and each one has got a different topic, and I thought we'd just sort of talk about your favourites or even things you don't like about some of the topics. So, yeah, if you want to pick a number between 1 and 8, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Okay, well, I like 7, so we can pick 7.
Cool. Well, that's food. So, favourite foods, favourite restaurants, or even things you really can't stand. What sort of restaurants do you like to go to?
Well, my favorite restaurant's anything with sushi. I love sushi of any kind. So I always drag Taylor to most sushi places as I can go. Yeah. I also, since I'm from Miami, my parents are Cuban. I love my old Cuban food. It's called bistec a la plancha, which is just, you know, flat steak with onions and rice and black beans.
Well, that sounds cool. I bet you have so much better choices as well, because going back to sushi, I love sushi, but we only really have like one, we have like Yo Sushi, and that's, I mean, I'm sure there are other places, but they're so expensive, you have to really watch when they're doing their happy hours or their discounts, because I love it when they go, when the sushi sort of goes around on the sort of rotating thing, but I was sort of throwing myself at it, but it's very tempting just to keep eating and not, without realizing how much you're spending. But I have been to one or two sushi bars where they've sort of, you know, said, oh, as much as you can eat for this amount, things like that. But
yeah, Taffy usually comes by my job sometimes, there's a mall across from where I work that there's a sushi place that has a conveyor belt with little sushis, and they're like, you know, they're $2, $3, and you can really spend $40 for lunch once you're like eating. It's like, oh my god, I want more, oh my god, I want more.
I guess do they do it where it's like a different bowl is a different price? Because that's where I've got confused, because I've kind of, you know, you're thinking, oh yeah, they're all $2 or $3, and then you've saw, but of course the purple bowl is about three times that much, you didn't realize.
Yeah, they do have colors with different prices. But I don't care.
No, I know.
It's if it's something I like, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, well, it's one of my favourites as well. Do you like to cook yourself, or do you tend to eat out more? Or?
Yeah, actually, I am the cook in the family.
Cool.
Taylor doesn't cook because he gets really angry when he cooks sometimes. So, I am the cook. I try to make dinners simple. I try to use the crock pot as much as I can. We have cookbooks, and some of them are really easy recipes. I've tried to do sushi, by the way, going back to sushi, and that is very difficult. I will never do that again. I'd rather pay someone to do sushi.
I was, my boyfriend is, he's the cook in the family, really. I let him get on with it and get on with my editing, but I was telling Taffy when we spoke about the one recipe that I can do, which is, I'm sure I could do more, I just haven't really tried, but I had a recipe book called How to Cheat at Cooking when I was at school, literally when I was under the age of 10, I think, and there was one recipe which involved sort of making things that are very easy to get hold of, or things out of the freezer, and it was just like a fish finger pie, and over the years I've kind of, now and again I've kind of sort of brought it out or adapted it or put extra things in it, and there's lots of cheese on it, and lots of people, you know, most people were like, oh, it's, yeah, it's good, it looks horrible when you sort of when you serve it up, but it's, it tastes good. But I really ought to.
Yeah, and I've learned how to cook from my mom, and surprisingly from Taffy, because Taffy and Tank, they can cook. I mean, they can cook really well.
Yeah.
They've done surprising things, and I'm like, oh my god, please tell me this recipe.
That sounds good. When we were talking, we sort of said, in the possible future, you know, she said, I'm coming over to have your fish finger pie, but I think going round to Taffy's house for dinner would be better than my fish finger pie by a long way. Is there any food that you really avoid or just can't stand? Or
No, I can't think of anything.
No, I mean,
I'd like to try something at least once. Oh no. No, there is a food that I will not try. I remember now. Okay, so if you heard the podcast that I did before, I went to Taiwan to see my best friend. Taiwan was amazing, and the food there is amazing. But there's one thing that they have, it's called stinky tofu.
Okay.
The name says it all. And everyone seems to love it. They say you have to get past the smell. They even have it for breakfast, which makes it even worse when you're smelling it walking across the street. It is horrid. I will never, ever try that.
Most of the things that I dislike are just really small things that aren't
just, you know, things like radishes or beetroots, or, and even them I can have now if they're prepared in the right way or mixed in the right salad in the right way. I haven't really got, like you, I haven't really got any major dislikes. But are you the sort of person, say, if you were having a burger, you'd just have everything, or do you, oh, I won't have it with this, I won't have it with that, or are you not that fussy, you'll just have it the way it's prepared?
I'm not that fussy. Yeah. I even will try different kinds of burgers. There's a burger place here in St. Petersburg that they had, I think it was brie and blueberry preserves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was the best burger I've ever had. I love that burger.
Yeah.
And Joe Batanz makes fun of me because I keep talking about that burger.
I've had burger with brie and cranberry, and yeah, I really like that as well. Oh, I'm glad to hear you're not fussy, because that's so annoying when people are like, oh, can I have it? And then they're not with that, and oh, we're not. You think, oh, you know, what's left?
Right.
Should we try another number? That was 7, wasn't it? So.
Sure.
What number would you like next?
2.
2 is films, favourite films, or
also
least favourite films. I know you have your film nights, don't you? With Taffy and Taylor and everybody. So you've got quite a lot going on with films. And so what are your favourites?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I love mostly sci-fi and fantasy films.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, of course, of all time is Star Wars. I know that's such a typical answer to say, but it is. It's Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. And if not Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. If not Lord of the Rings, it's a Disney movie. I mean,
yeah,
if you've heard the podcast, I pick mostly all the Disney movies for movie night. So
I don't dislike Star Wars, but I blame the fact that I got into Doctor Who, original Doctor Who, about the, I was probably too young for the first Star Wars, and in between the Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, I got into Doctor Who, and then there was, and Doctor Who was basically my Star Wars. I know one's TV, one's cinema, but I was just so much into it by the time that Empire Strikes Back came out that nothing else could compare, even though one is made on like a $5 budget and one's made on a millions of pound budget. But do you still like all the later ones as well?
Yeah, and when you mentioned Doctor Who, I actually love Doctor Who. I'm like 2 seasons behind, but mm-hmm. When they brought it here, I guess it was always shown in the United States, but when it became really popular with, I guess, David Tennant, it just, I loved it from then on. I don't know if you like the new ones as
As far as Doctor Who's concerned, I like it all the way, because there were points where I do have friends who've liked it for years, and perhaps they've faded a bit, but I just remember there were points in the original series which were real sort of lows, and I still watch then, and you know, it's always changing. That's a good thing. You don't want it to be the same, especially a show that's been going on such a long time. And I'm certainly very pro the new Doctor being a woman and everything. That would be cool. I think it sort of changes things. But but do you catch up by like box sets, or do you, or is it on Netflix or one of those?
They had it on Netflix and they took it out, so I've been buying it through Apple.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to buy the last 2 seasons, because I missed the last 2 seasons, and I'm going to watch those. Mm. Because now, once they had the Lady Doctor, I'm so excited. Yes, okay, now I have to catch up, because I really want to watch this.
Yeah, yeah. It should be a while, because other than the regeneration at Christmas, for the next season, probably won't be till, say, next autumn 2018 or something, I wouldn't have thought. But unless they really get going with it, but I suppose having released that, you know, they want to probably build on the excitement, so hopefully it won't drag on for too long. Actually, moving from films to TV, are there other TV series, if you like, either like old ones or current ones, that you really keep watching?
One of my guilty pleasures is Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
I know of that, that. But I know of, I think it's on, I think that was on my Netflix, and but I don't, I haven't actually started watching it, but I'm sort of aware of it, but I've not seen it yet.
All right. It's a guilty pleasure, because it's cheesy, but I like it.
my recent guilty pleasure was Pretty Little Liars, which is sort of, I think of that as sort of like Twin Peaks for I would say for teenagers, but actually, it doesn't really feel like you're watching a teenager's program when you're watching it. Surprisingly dark in places, but that's one of those ones I didn't know much about, and it's quite good with things like Netflix. You can just kind of start watching things, and if you get into them, trouble is if there's a big backlog of seasons, because you know some shows are really good for say the first three or four seasons, and then perhaps they start to. You know, I used to love Walking Dead, but the last couple of seasons, last couple of seasons, I've struggled a bit. I have no problem with them killing off characters, but I just think I found last season a bit slow. But I actually like I Fear the Walking Dead more at the moment. But that started off a bit slow, but the second season I really enjoyed, and I have to buy it from Apple because it's on channels that I can't get access to otherwise. So I end up watching it on the train, and then thinking, I hope nobody's looking over my shoulder as zombies are lumbering.
I understand what you mean about Walking Dead. I mean, I'm still watching just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does go a little slow. And I haven't got into Fear of Walking Dead just yet. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, maybe soon.
Yeah. I think it's. But as sometimes you can go from really loving a show one season and. And then a year later, at the end of the next season, it's really either got even better or you suddenly feel quite different about a show quite quickly. But
no, that's happened to me as well.
Because even Pretty Little Liars that I enjoyed, the older they got and the more sort of romance plots came in. When they were a bit younger, they had less romance plots. It was more, it was the romance stuff. It was like, oh, get over this. Let's get another psychopath in. I want more kidnappings, less kissing. Are there any other shows that you enjoy at the moment?
Stranger Things is a really good show. Talking about kids in a horror show, pretty much.
Mm. I started the first episode of that and for some reason got distracted, and I still have that to watch, and it's ridiculous. I should have got on with it by now.
It's really good. It takes a while, just one or two episodes to get through it, and then all of a sudden it's like boom, and it really, really is good.
Yeah.
And we don't watch that much TV, only because we took out cable from our... Because it's cable so expensive. So we have Hulu and Netflix. Mm. And that's what we watch a couple things from time to time. Al loves cooking competition shows like Top Chef. And I like those too. So I'll watch those as well. We also like, a couple of comedy shows. I can't name them at the top of my head.
No, it's fine. I do find that I have to have shows that I really... want to watch and it's 100% my attention on, and then I have a few shows that I just half watch whilst I'm sort of editing my show or I'm just putting the files in order, because they're not always just one file. Sometimes they're made up of lots of different files, and I need the time just to sort of put them in the right order before I start editing on them. So I watch a couple of soap operas, mainly Australian soap operas. I don't know why I like the Australian ones, but I do, and I think it's because they're quite popular over here. Well, they used to be when I was at school. So but I sort of have those, half an eye on those, and if something dramatic happens, then I might pause and stop. But I'm watching the new Twin Peaks because I watched the original. You really need to kind of pay attention to that because it's so weird. Although I don't know if it makes much difference when you watch it close up, because it's you're still like, okay, what's that? I just see it. That tree's got a brain on it. What's going on?
I have never watched Twin Peaks, and I didn't want to start the second season until I watched the first one.
Yeah.
I guess I never, I was young when it came out.
I was sort of about 16 or so when the original series was on. I think the movie of Twin Peaks was the first 18 film I saw at the cinema, and I think I went with a group of friends. We were all kind of quite new to 18 films, and we came out and we were like, oh. We didn't really know what to say.
It was interesting.
We weren't really sure what we'd seen, and we were a bit, oh, all right, okay. that's an 18 film, is it? They all like that. I'll be with you in a minute. I'm just choosing some poems. I have a couple of poems for you. These are from Caveman Logic. The first one is called The Cactus Kid. The Cactus Kid does what he likes. Instead of hands, he's blessed with spikes.
Those spikes work well for knitting mittens, or to make tiny hats for tiny kittens. Balloons that pass are always burst. Poke in the eye, you'll come off worst. New admirers tend to leave him quickly. They claim his manners slightly prickly. The cactus kid is dressed with class. A pinstriped suit on his pinstriped ass. His sense of humour's slightly jagged. His spine trimmed so they're never ragged. His neatness, though, is no consolation. Needs to get himself some insulation. Despite how buff he is, despite how brawny, his problem stays, it's really thorny. The cactus kid, he feels neglected. It needles him, folk dress protected. To avoid the pokes he'd not intended, they'll speak with him but stay defended. He can't get close, can't make a catch, without them coming sadly up to scratch. Once his spines were few, oh happy flashback, but now he's bought himself an armour-plated yashmak. The cactus kid has turned the tide, he found his match, he took a bride. When they embrace, seems she can hack it, his clever lover wears a puffer jacket. His canny beau, she cut the crap, he now wears pants of bubble wrap. The kid's content, no more lovesick, now no more known for just his prick. Oh, sorry, I've got to choose a second poem. I'll get there. Sorry. This one's called The Neighbourhood Witch. The neighbourhood witch, she's much nicer than most, only does helpful spells, she's as deaf as a post, but her faithful cat Nightshade keeps an eye on the action, and ensures that her magic has no fatal attraction, keeps an eye on the phoenix snoozing under the bed, and occasionally dusts the unicorn out in the shed. Oh, she's the neighbourhood witch, and she still rides her broom, she would love a new cauldron, but she just does not have room. The neighbourhood witch, she keeps frogs in the bath, whilst the elves and the pixies always sweep her front path. She has a dragon who cleans, who I've heard never whinges. He is good with a duster, but when he sneezes, he singes. Under her tall pointy hat, the witch hides all her biscuits. When she flies, likes to knit, is she wrong then to risk it? Oh, the neighbourhood witch has no patience for voodoo. She has no fondness for hexes. She's far keener on fondue. The neighbourhood witch is quite content doing dishes. She will do them by hand, she won't use her three wishes. She will not change the locals into toads, no, nor mice. She'll just stand at her front gates and she'll offer advice. Well, she'll stand there in summer, in the winter in blizzards. But when the leaves turn to brown, she's off flirting with wizards. Oh, the neighbourhood witch, she just likes to be seen, but becomes slightly frisky just before Halloween. The neighbourhood witch cares for all those in need, lets them sleep in her cauldron on pillows of tweed, keeps an eye out for burglars, for muggers and thieves, and sends her cleaner, the dragon, out to flambe the leaves. The townsfolk all approve of her magical ways, she's a tad mad and eccentric, but they pray that she stays. Keeping watch is her gift to them, she's no gossip nor snitch, just their faithful protector, just their neighbourhood witch.
What about, let's choose another number. So we've done 2 and 7.
7. 5?
5 is pets. Do you currently have pets?
No, we don't. And that has been, if you've heard the podcast, that's
probably of course.
Been
yes.
A little bit of a discussion with us.
Yes.
I'm itching for a doggy.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. I want a dog. I love dogs.
Yeah.
If you know, my heaven is a field filled with them and just like diving right into them.
And
what pets do you have?
I have a cat, Dealey, who is named after a TV presenter who went to America called Cat Dealey. Although that gets very confusing because she was a woman, they think that Dealey must be a girl, but it was just a silly pun that we came up with and we wanted to name very quickly because he's 12 now, but he occasionally appears on the podcast when I can get him to meow on cue, but
that's right. That's adorable. Going back to Taffy, I love Taffy's cats. Yeah. And I love cats, but I am allergic to them.
Yes, I think she mentioned that.
I will still pet them because I still love them. And
they Yes, I think she was saying that they target you because they, and as cats often do with somebody who's either allergic or nervous of cats.
Yeah, but I don't care. I was like, come to me, I will pet you and I will kiss you, and it's worth it.
Yeah, I was a bit,
it's totally worth it.
I was a bit like that when I left home for university because my parents have cats and I was always used to them. And then I went away for a few months and came back and suddenly I was quite, you know, allergic to them, but you just kind of I just have to get on with it. But did you grow up with dogs when you were a child?
Yeah, my parents had a German Shepherd. His name was Duke. Mm-hmm. In Spanish it was Duque. Mm-hmm. And he was a great dog. I don't remember, I do remember him, but I don't remember much of him. And my mom tells me stories that he was very protective of us. He would, when it was time for bed, he knew what time it was, and he would, you know, push us to bed and it's time to go to sleep. Mm. And I had it when I think I was like maybe 4 or 3 when Duke was around. And then my parents had to give him away, so they gave him away to another family.
Mm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And he became a police dog after that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
If you manage to hopefully get your way eventually and you get to have a dog in the family, what sort of dog are you gonna aiming for?
Yes. Any dog. Any dog.
Any dog. All dogs.
a dog. Yeah. No, to be honest, I like pugs. I like Labradors. Any of those kinds would be fine.
Yeah. When I first met my boyfriend, we used to sort of go for coffees in one of some of the London parks. And I remember sitting there and this pug went past, but it was sort of trailing behind its owner. His owner was pretty busy on the phone. And we sort of looked at each other and sort of jokingly said, do you think that pug would fit in our rucksack? It just looked like that owner doesn't care about that pug. That pug would come home, dearly, would just have to get used to it. Not sure he would.
Pugs are very silly.
Yeah.
When we took care of, the first time I actually took care of a lab was Taylor's mom's dog that lived here for a year.
Mm.
She, Dixie, was very, you know, proper and calming and very, very loving.
Mm.
Rocco was very silly and would make me laugh. So
yeah.
Either one was fine.
Yeah, that's well. Are you getting closer, do you think? I heard Taylor mention that you you were, you're keeping mentioning dogs. Do you think you'll give in soon?
Yeah, we already talked about it. It's just that we both want one, and he makes jokes about it. But in all honesty, we have to make repairs to our house.
Yeah,
and we don't want a dog to be in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
So I'm rushing on the repairs.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let's get this done. I want the kitchen done. I want the bathroom done because there needs to be a dog here.
Yeah.
So it motivates me to,
yeah,
let's get it done. Let's do it. Let's do it. We got all this great stuff that we got from our wedding. So let's get it done.
Cool. Yeah. Well, looking forward to seeing the photos when you finally do get one. Should we choose another number? We've got 1, 3, 4, 6, and 8, I think.
One?
One is music. What's your favorite music and what music can't you stand?
When I was growing up, I used to love musicals,
mm-hmm.
music. I know it's not really, but, instrumental from movies.
Mm-hmm.
I really was focused on those two kinds of music. And, it's hard for me because I like music, but I don't focus on one particular thing. I just listen to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's difficult. If I really like the music, and even if I don't know the language, I'll still try to get it just to keep listening to it.
Yeah. Mm.
It's hard for me to explain that when I try to explain it to people. Because, you know, yeah, sure, I like Lady Gaga. Sure, I like Madonna. I like the classics. I like, you know, I kind of like a couple of 80s music. It's a tough one.
Yeah, it's good to find your own thing, though. I remember when I was young and you know, everyone was listening to 80s music. I did get into 80s music, but I wasn't really interested through a lot of the 80s. I was interested in, I used to love the Beatles, and I used to love ABBA, and I used to like going into my parents' record collection and seeing what they got. But then, whereas they just have one or two records by these people, I'd be saving up my pocket money. I'd want to sort of get every album, or I'd want to get another band that I'd heard were from the same era or bands that were compared to the bands I liked. And then, of course, that just means you get more and more and more. And I always felt like I was kind of, that my parents at one stage approved of my music, or they were kind of okay with it, because I suppose they partially influenced it. And when I started broadening out to my own choices, I remember feeling quite sort of, oh, I think I better hide that tape under the bed, or better hide it behind the bookcase, because just in case they get cross. I'm sure they wouldn't have done, but, you know, when you're like, 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever, you sort of, when you start to do things outside of the... I didn't like being sort of led by what other people liked. That would often turn me against, if people at school were talking about it and they weren't necessarily... if a close friend said they liked it, yeah, that's different. But if just the kids were talking about a band, I'd be like, right, I'm not going to go anywhere near that band, because I don't want to be listening to what the cool kids are listening to.
So you were one of those.
I was sort of awkward. I want to be awkward, and I don't want to be listening to what everyone else is listening to.
I guess music has to have an emotional. What's the word? An emotional
connection
to me. Yeah. And I grew up listening to Spanish music most of the time, and there's some Spanish singers that I still like, and I don't know, because that has an emotional attachment. Yeah. And when you're in high school, you have an emotional. That's why I guess I like the movie instrumentals, because it has emotional attachment. I guess I get in my own little imaginary world when I listen to that kind of music.
Yeah.
And I make my own movie.
I know what you mean. Even with when it's a pop song, I can be walking down the street and feel like I'm in the video for that song. And I think I've heard other people say that happens to them as well. That everybody wants to be in the movies. Have you ever played an instrument or wanted to be in a band or anything like that?
I used to play the tuba in junior high.
Mm-hmm. I played the cornet with tubas. That's bigger.
Yeah, I didn't like it. After high school, I was like, yeah, I'm done.
The thing is, I couldn't really read music very well, but I could sort of play by ear once I got the tune in my head. But that means half the time you're faking it when when they think you have learnt how to read music, then you're having to kind of play catch up and not, you don't really want to admit that you haven't learned how to read music.
Yeah.
And we had a piano, so I could sort of play some tunes on that. In fact, we've still got the same piano at my parents' house that we had when I was growing up. And I've had a character on my show that is one of the ones I play. And she's supposed to run a music school, and she plays everything really badly on the piano, but she thinks she's playing marvellously. So I really enjoy doing that character and playing the piano badly. It was nice to be able to use the old piano again. Even if you're kind of playing it badly. But I never sort of had friends who wanted to form a band or anything. A couple of times, actually, a friend of mine plays the guitar, and we did go through a stage of, he said, what if you do writing? You should write the lyrics, and I'll come up with a tune. Trouble is, all my lyrics were like about witches or monsters, or I couldn't just write like a love song or anything like that, because I'd be no, that's far too soppy. I realised I just haven't, my creative head at the time certainly wasn't, I couldn't write the sort of things that went with the music really. And also he wanted me to sing the words to his tune, and they were always kind of slow, sort of soppier songs, which would have made me feel a lot more self-conscious singing something. And I also feel your voice has to be a lot better if you're singing a ballad or something than if you're singing something more rocky or louder. You can probably get a lot of singers who sing that sort of music haven't necessarily got great voices, but they have the attitude and it comes off well. But so that was my only foray into. Although I've knocked around with GarageBand and come up with sort of playing around with loops and stuff, doing music there. That's quite fun. For most of the music I've got on my show is loops that are free on Apple on GarageBand, and you just get to combine them in any way you want. And so it sounds surprisingly professional, considering all you've done though is decide when you bring each loop in and out. But it's been quite fun, especially as I've had it on my phone. I was commuting back to my parents from London last night, and so I'm sort of sitting on this cramped train. But I thought, oh no, I'm going to have a go on GarageBand. And sort of mucking around, and came up with a little piece of music. You feel a bit like a bit of a fate when you say that you've made it when it's other people's loops, but you know, you've sort of mixed up the potion, as it were. It's quite fun. But, it's also nice if you know you're using it in some other, you know, you've got somewhere to use it, an end product that you can use it on.
So other people use your sounds, or could use your sounds that you've put out there?
Yeah, I suppose so, because I have it. I put them all on SoundCloud and kind of allow them, you know, they're not my copyright. Although they belong to Apple, once you've made the piece of music, you can do what you like with it. So, you know, it'd be cool if somebody else used one of my pieces. Actually, I was watching Black Mirror, TV program, and in a scene when they're supposed to be in a nightclub, and I recognised that they obviously had made the music in the nightclub from the loops on Apple, on GarageBand, because I'd done something similar with a different combination of loops. My ears sort of picked up, and I was like, oh, so even like big TV companies on shows on Netflix, you know, they obviously just wanted a little bit of music. They didn't want to have to pay masses for it. So
yeah,
that was quite funny, because I was thinking, yeah, I used that. I used a bit of that.
The only thing I could do is, I mean, that I was, I studied theater and I studied filmmaking, and I can carry a tune, but I'm not a singer like you, what you said. I can just carry a tune to a degree.
Yeah.
Pretty much a character singer.
I think, I suppose I have been, believe it or not, I have been doing, in the same way as I've been playing the piano badly on the podcast, I have been having various characters, like my character Ick, who's an alien. I've been having him learning about love through love songs, and then he's sort of singing really bad versions of 80s songs. I have to speak his voice higher like this, and then I modulate it even higher. And then he might be singing "I Want to Know What Love Is," or I don't know, think of any 80s ballad. And I did one today where he's singing Love Shack. And I think it makes me laugh more than it probably makes anybody who listens laugh. But it's my show, so I'm going to keep on singing so badly. you know, if it makes somebody laugh, then I think it's better than making them cry if I try to sing properly. So.
But, now I have to listen. I am way behind on all kinds of podcasts. I'm way behind on everything. I don't even listen to Taylor's anymore. No. So you've intrigued me. So I'll have to listen to those.
Yeah, I've sort of added more characters and more stories, and Toppy and I do a lot of recording together. So we have crossovers between Pickle Hollow and Smellcast stuff, and one of his characters is supposed to be best friends with one of my characters, and so that it's good fun to have somebody to similarly batty to contribute.
You've done it with Toppy?
Yeah.
I met him on Pride 48.
Yeah,
he's insane.
Yeah,
but he's funny.
Yeah, we record every couple of months, if not more. I got my 100th. This episode probably could be coming out after episode 100, but I'm nearly at episode 100 now. And we just last weekend we did a big recording for all these plots. We've kind of, and then you know some episodes are like chatting to people. But even in this episode, my other characters will probably come in and comment and say, the alien will say, "Oh, I like that man who you spoke to today," or whatever. I like doing the silly things as well as the changing the format from week to week. And I do a live show now once a month. So, but then I try and do that as weirdly as possible and try and mix it up and think, well, what can I do with making it as complicated as possible? Rather than make it easy for myself, I'm like, okay, how can I make this really complicated and a real challenge to do? And, it keeps me enjoying it anyway. I was gonna ask you what music can you really not like, or is there anything you just would avoid?
I just don't like music that promotes violence.
No, I can understand.
I don't
that.
Like it. That's it. I love all types of music.
Mm.
If it's fun, and it makes I'm a happy soul. I like things that make me laugh, have fun, make me think.
Yeah.
But not promote violence. So, and there's music like that around.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with you there. Should we go and try another number? We've got 3, 4, 6 and 8.
Actually, I wanted to ask you something before we start another number.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in the whole music thing, and speaking of music, have you ever dated a musician?
No, no, I haven't.
I have.
That sounds...
Run. They are wonderful and will break you. And you will hate yourself, but you'll keep coming back, and then you'll have to make, okay, I have to quit.
Is it because they want you to be totally interested in their project, and so much so that they're not interested in you, or is it a different element that you'd say that?
There's something oddly attractive about them.
Yeah.
And I guess when someone knows how to play music and knows how to sing or whatever, you're just like, oh wow, okay, I want you inside me. And it's one of those things that it's like, wow.
Yeah.
One guy in particular that I dated, he was just, I went right after him, and once you get to know him, you're like, oh okay, you're just a child.
So.
I guess I shouldn't put all musicians in one basket, but
well, I have had problems with, because I've done less with music. I mean, I have followed bands, but not to the point where I had that person come along. Yeah, I would have been up for. I would have initially. I would have liked somebody being in a band, but then I think if it proved that they weren't interested in my creative stuff, then that would have annoyed me. So yeah, but I had sort of interesting situations with actors, because I do sort of Amdram type acting. I prefer to do my own projects rather than learning other people's scripts, and I like doing ad lib and improvisation. But I have done other people's plays where it's just been amateur, really, but we, you know, I've learnt lines. But then sometimes I've mixed the cast. Maybe you've been, some people might have been slightly more professional, or might even have been at drama school, and mixing all different levels of actor together. When basically we're still doing an amateur project, you do sometimes find that some people think that they're in a bigger production than they really are, and that has always been quite interesting. My friend Nick, who's often on this show, he never went to drama school, but he's done a lot of amateur dramatics in our hometown, and I think, you know, he could have gone to drama school, he's good enough, he just didn't choose to. But I don't know that every person who goes to drama school is necessarily the best person, and there are lots of people who never do go, if you know what I mean. Some people, you know, they really could have gone further, and that they're sort of, they were happy to stay where they were. So it's kind of interesting.
Yep. I know I could see that,
because you don't necessarily have to have gone to school. You can always learn more things, but you can also do a lot of amateur dramatics and be good, and just not even realize you're good, sort of thing. It's kind of interesting, because it's difficult. Some of these things are talents you can learn. Some, you know, and when it's your profession as well, it must be annoying when you see people who are really good, but they didn't train to do it. And yeah, it's a funny one. Actually, now you said it, I have dated a musician. And I took... But
you just
not,
kind of forget about it.
Well, he wasn't a musician by the time I knew him. He had been in bands in the 80s, because he was about 8 years older than me, and this was more recent boyfriend. And he was in a band that was sort of a bit like a Duran Duran at the time, and then he was in another band that was sort of more sort of grungy, and to the point where I think their band actually did support some bigger bands coming in. But by the time I knew him, he wasn't doing anything creative, so he wasn't doing anything common. In fact, I was the one who was sort of asking, oh, tell me more about what you did with the... And because he wasn't doing it anymore, I don't think he really wanted to talk about it. Occasionally you'd see a picture or... But it wasn't quite, that wasn't quite the same. I think that's why I'd sort of forgotten that, yeah, actually, I did date a musician, but it was an ex-musician.
Hello, it's me, Lamius Twinklehorn. I very much enjoyed your episode. Oh, you've been getting some really good guests recently. Very interested to hear about Mr. Bubbaloo. Yes, it's been very interesting hearing what he has to say. Yes, I've heard his little show. I think he should bring it back, or else you should bring him back on our show, and we'll speak to him. Yes. I wonder if he's ever considered being an actor. Yes. Oh, you could give acting classes to him. Do you think he would want to be an actor? I don't know. Oh, well. Ask him. You should ask him. Anyway, goodbye for now. Oh, yes. I have lines to learn. Yes. Oh, yes.
Hello, Paul. It's me, your Yeti Uncle John. Yes. Well, once again, you know, I hope you're listening. Yes, I hope you're listening. It's always good for you when you talk to one of your interview guests because, yes, I see it as an education for you. Sometimes you can learn about, you know, music or films, or you can learn about just how to be a better podcaster. So, yes, just remember, Paul, you can always learn. Oh, yes, you can always learn. I hope you're making notes. That's all I'll say. Yes. Oh, dear, oh, dear. You ought to try and get a full house. Yes. I've been looking at the statistics. You've been speaking to a number of people from 548, but you need to get a full house. You've not yet got a full house where you've interviewed, you know, every single member of a podcast. Well, I suppose you could say you have, because you and Scotty the Aussie Battler spoke to each other. And I mean, he's the only person. You haven't spoken to Alan the dog, though. You need to speak to him. But yes, I think you've got one more member of Lotsall to speak to, and one more member of Catching Up to speak to, two more members of Pod is My Co-Pilot to speak to. I shall do you a chart. Yes, very good. Anyway, I'll let you get on. All right, yes, right. Yes. Bye.
Would you like to move on to another number?
Yes. What are the numbers left?
We have 3, 4, 6, and 8.
All right, let's go with 3.
3 is sort of favourite places or holiday destinations or places you'd love to go to which you haven't been to.
Disney.
I know you do a lot of cruises. Are you happy doing just different cruises? Is that what you're... Have you got different cruises you're aiming to do?
Yeah, Disney Cruise is... it's an easy way to see new places. You see it for a couple of hours, and then you go back to your ship, and it's like a floating hotel.
Yeah.
One of my favorite places, I'm going to, I've been to Taiwan. That was an amazing experience. And next year I'm going to Japan with my friend that lives in Taiwan. But Disney World just has... I've lived in Florida all my life. I grew up in Miami, and I moved to St. Petersburg, and Disney World here, I've seen it change ever since I was little, so it's something special to me.
Yeah.
I know it's a theme park and whatever, but it means a lot to me to go in and out of that. It's, once you're in, that feeling is gone now, because I've grown up, but every time I go in there, or have gone in when I was a kid, it's like a special, I'm in a different world.
Yeah.
You know, your imagination runs rampant when you're a kid, when you're in there.
The two things separately, I've been to Disneyland in Paris, and that was quite a long time ago when it was new, but I used to have a friend in LA who I used to visit quite a bit, and one of my birthdays, he took me to... I was getting confused. Is it Disneyland or Disney World that's in that side of the country?
Disney World is the only one in Florida. Disneylands are all over.
Oh, okay. The world. Well, I went to the one that was near LA, whichever the one that was, and I had a birthday there, and because if you tell them it's your birthday, or somebody tells them that it's your birthday, that you have a special badge. So. Yeah. I got the whole day with all these people going, "Hi, Paul, happy birthday."
Right.
And I really liked it. And I was about 39 at the time. It was like three or four years ago, and I was like, yeah, I like this. I want this to happen all the time now.
Yeah.
I walk down the street.
I just wear the badge. And yeah, all the time. I don't care, I swear. Yeah. Disney cruises are just fun also because, you know, it's all of the gang, and Alaska was just amazing when we went to the Disney cruise. So
I want to do
I like traveling with cruise or without cruise. Mm. I want to travel more. I want to see Europe. I want to see London. Yeah. You know, I want to see those places still. So hopefully soon.
Yeah, I want to go on some cruises and maybe Mediterranean or something. I was saying to Taffy that if you ever, well, I was either London or my favourite European city is Venice. If you're ever passing, any excuse I can get to show you all around Venice. I've literally been to Venice 6 times, and if a friend ever mentions, oh, I'm thinking of going to Venice, I'm always like, well, if you want a guide, and I don't know what it is about. I think it's a bit like, the weirdest thing I can think of to say is that Venice is a bit like, like one of those computer games when you're walking down corridors and turning, and you can't see too far ahead. That's what Venice is like. It's so easy to get lost, and it's quite exciting. You don't know quite what's around the corner. So, is there any holidays you've had where you kind of, you know, oh, I never want to go there again, that was awful? Any disaster stories or?
Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. It's, I will never stay. If we go on a cruise and one of the stops is Nassau, I won't get off the boat. That's one of the places I just won't go. But everything else is, it's fine. I've never been, the question was anything I disliked, right?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I just dislike Nassau.
Mm.
I won't ever go to Russia for obvious reasons.
No, exactly. I feel the same. One of my work colleagues is going during the summer holidays, and maybe she's doesn't kind of, I just would have thought it would be a place you'd want to avoid, even if you're a straight woman, just, you know, as she is. But I wouldn't go. I'd be the same as you. Yeah. But I'm so lucky because it's so easy to fly to Europe, and sometimes it's easier to fly into Europe than it is to travel up, say, Scotland. In fact, I'm going to Scotland next week, and the train fare up there is more expensive than to go on the Eurostar train into France. It's ridiculous sometimes.
God, when you say those things, I get jealous. That's one of the places. I really, really want to visit Europe.
Yeah.
And Taffy and I make fun of it because it's like, I know Spanish, so we can walk around Spain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tank knows Germany. Yes. I mean, he speaks German. Yeah. And Taffy, I think, can speak French.
Mm.
So it's like, we got it all. Yeah. Taylor has to learn Italian. Come on, get to it.
I've got one of those apps on my phone with different languages, but stupidly I tried to learn French, but I know a bit of French from school, but I tried to learn French, Spanish, German and Italy all at the same time, and of course first, you know, on the train to work. I have commute time, but it's because there are elements of all those languages that are similar to each other, but I'm quite good at like learning vocab and stuff, but when it comes to putting things into sentences, or if I'm put in a situation where I have to suddenly think, that's when I panic and it just kind of all rhyme or reason drops out. I'm like, just think, what I can think of is the word for bread or something. if you ever come to Europe, I'm happy to be your guides to London, I suppose, but it'd be much more exciting if I could be your guide to Venice or to one of the European countries.
Awesome, yay!
So I think we have...
If you ever go to Disney World, you know a guide in Disney World.
Yeah.
And Taylor and I know it by like the back of our hands.
Yeah, I was... My niece, who's over, she lives your side of America, but I'm sure nowhere near you. And I meant to look and double-check the city that she lives in, but... I always get confused, either Daytona or Deltona, and I can never remember which one it is she lives in, but I'm sure that's nowhere near where you are at all. But because I always sort of, I always try to work out, well, if I come and see my niece, who from 548 can I meet up with? And but it's so expensive hopping around. I mean, I would like to go to the next time there's a conference, but in a way I wish it wasn't going to be Vegas, because I've been to Vegas about 3 times already. But if I have to go to Vegas again to see everyone, that's where I'll go. But
so are you going to go to Pride 48?
I'm certainly considering it. I'll have to speak with the boss man as whether he, I'm not sure he'd want to go, but he might just let me off free, go by myself, which is, you know, we shall see how the timings go. But yeah, I would like to.
Pride 48 is a lot of fun. It's very nice. I won't be there next year because I'm going to Japan. So
yes, of course.
You won't see me. No. You'll see Taylor and Taffy.
Yeah, well,
if you do go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, one day I'm sure. When I'm showing you around Venice. What other numbers? We have 4, 6, and 8, I think.
I'm going to go in order and do 4.
4 is like hobbies. Are there any other hobbies that we haven't spoken about that you're really into, or things that maybe even hobbies you used to do? Or?
I used to podcast. Podcasting by yourself is hard. It's really hard. I want to go back to that again eventually, but I'm still trying to figure out what to do. I think with the podcast that I did, I said everything I wanted to say. And I was proud of that, and that was fun. And it's like, okay, now it's time to close that book. Hobbies I do like. I like painting. I like writing. I love playing video games. I'm a big Nintendo fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love playing video games. And
I've
reading books. I love reading. So I love science fiction and fantasy. So
That is one of the other numbers. So we'll come back to that for sure. The only times I've really been into gaming is when I dated people who also gamed, and then they kind of set me up with their old machine, partly so they could play. And they went, oh, I've got a new game. Hey, did you want to play that other game? If you shove me up into the spare room. But I think to a certain extent, I really enjoy playing games, and I really liked all the sort of zombie stuff and all the shooting things. And
yes.
But I found myself kind of getting up in the middle of, going to bed and then waiting till my partner at the time was asleep, and I kind of get up and go back and start playing. And this would be like in a weeknight as well, and I'd sort of find that I'd only had 4 hours sleep or something. I didn't used to have very good control over if I was really into a game, but I also got used to get frustrated when you got to the bits where it was like a code or something and you couldn't I couldn't work out, so I used to go on cheat sites and to find out how to get. But I did enjoy them, but I just don't think. I think at the moment I just wouldn't have time because, my podcast does take up a lot of my time. And as I'm enjoying it, but part of me would like to, if I could just set aside, right, okay, I'll just play 1 hour a day or something, and maybe it'll happen, but not at the moment. But.
It's kind of controlling. The new Nintendo Switch that came out, I love playing that, and I play it handheld. So the battery life goes out within 2 hours. Yeah. So once the battery life goes out, I put it on. So it's actually a good way of controlling my playing time. It's like, there's only 10% left, so I got to charge it. And then I forget about it and do other things, and then I'll come back to it. So I'm actually very happy that it has a time limit to charge. So.
Yeah.
Because I can get lost in those things. And there's other things I want to do. I love to paint. I love to read. So I want to do more stuff than just that. Plus, I want to exercise eventually. Because I got to lose weight.
Me too. And that is one of the reasons that I kind of decided that my show was going to be out and about as well. Because it adds a sort of, I want to go out and do some recording outside today, and obviously I'll do a walk at the same time. And, you know, I still don't get the chance to as much as I'd like to, but it does. I find I need some sort of, or maybe a photo opportunity. Like, okay, I'll go for this long walk, but I'm going to be taking photographs on the way. But it's difficult. I can't just go to the gym. Partly the gym's all. I don't drive, so partly the gym's near me. They're all really packed. All the ones that are easiest to get to, and of course the ones that maybe are quieter are in the middle of nowhere for me. But it's probably all excuses.
You live in the outskirts of
London. I'm really close to a railway line, but it's a sort of country station, so But it's only 40 minutes from Waterloo Station in the centre of London. But and you mentioned writing. When you write, what do you like to write?
I've been trying to write this book for pretty much 3 or 4 years now, and it's hard. I entered NaNoWriMo, and that's when it first started. I think it was in 2012 when I started doing that. So I did like maybe, I think, 60,000 words. So I've been trying to put that out there, just fix it up here and there, but I haven't really done much in a few months. But yeah, that's what I like to do. I have a journal, so a dream journal. So when I write, I have weird dreams and I write them down, and it helps with my writing ability.
Yeah,
because it sucks sometimes.
I've always written, but ever since I found there was a place that you could sort of self-publish, although self-publishing hasn't got the same stigma it used to have years ago, and you know everyone's doing it, and once I realised that, okay, I can write these short stories, or I can write this, and I can have copies, and I can, even if I'm just giving them Christmas presents, or if I'm selling them to a small audience, it's just great to have a book in my hand. I mean, I work in a library, so I still appreciate a nice, you know, hardback book, or it's nice, even if you're just doing it for yourself, just to have that finished product that you can put on your shelf. And sort of the worst thing is, no matter how much you proofread it, or you get other people to proofread it for you, you still, you know, you go back a year later or whatever, and you still find something that's there. How did all the people that read this through for me not see it? I almost don't like to look back, because you know you just think, oh, I'm going to find something that's wrong I didn't notice before. But then that can be of course, when you eventually become very famous, that'll be a rare edition of your book with a spelling mistake, which they're going to pay millions for. Well, at least that's what I like to think. But,
Hello, darling. Oh, it's me, Bettina Dupre. How are you? Oh, how are you? Oh, dear, oh dear. Most interesting, your conversation with Mr. Babalu, yes. Sounds a nice gentleman. Yes, lots of things. Lots of interesting things you're talking about. Oh, dear, oh dear. But what I really want to know is, does he need my advice about anything? Did he sound like he might do? Did he? Oh, it's just that nobody seems to be sending me in any questions again lately. I mean, it's all very well using your random question generator, but, oh dear, I am here. I am here to answer people's questions. All they have to do is look at the show notes, see the email address. What is it? shyyeti@yahoo.co.uk, I think that's right. Oh, come on, listeners. Come on, listen. Come on, send me some questions. I'll be there to answer. Goodness. Why are you all so shy? I've seen the downloads. There's more than 5 of you. Come on, send your questions in. Maybe I should follow the... maybe I should follow the... what's it called? What should I follow? I've forgotten. Oh, yes. Maybe I should follow the example of Ick and Paul and start singing. If you don't send me questions, I'm going to sing. Yes, I'm going to sing opera. Oh, told you, yes, you. Oh, dear, send me some questions, darlings. Please, 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 please. Oh, anyway. Anyway, I must go off. I've got a Skype chat with Aunt Tappy coming up. Yes. I was supposed to be going out for dinner with Nathan, but apparently he's had to cancel me. So, well, there you go. So I thought I'd bake up some scones and cream and jam, and I think Aunt Tappy's done the same thing. And we're going to have a cream tea. Yes. Via Skype. Oh, we are silly. Oh, it doesn't seem to matter that we're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Oh. Ah, dear, oh dear. Oh, toots. Oh, dear, oh dear. So I must go. Yes. Whoever's heard of having a cream tea via Skype? Delightful. Yes. Oh, dear, oh dear. Who needs men? Oh, dear, Nathan. I don't know. Anyway, 1 million kisses, darling. 1,000,001 kisses.
Did I hear mention of cream scones and jam, you know? Oh, yes, sorry, this is me, Chalika. Now, listen, people often seem to think that, you know, as a bear, all I do is eat pies and, you know, this is not true. I'm quite happy to eat cakes, too. Yes, sweet and savoury, although sometimes, obviously, you can have sweetness in the pies, which is also good. Cherry pie, custard. Oh, yes. Heaven. Absolute heaven. Oh, I'm just going to have to go and find myself a pie, I think. I hope you're all well, listeners. Yes. All right. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I think we have two more numbers. We have okay. Books. Oh, I'm giving it away. We have six. I didn't say that. We have number six and number eight.
That was number six.
That's books.
Number six.
Number six is books and like magazines and all things that you. I wasn't sure if you were into comics or.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And comics, X-Men has always been my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like those comic books that are independent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of them that I've read that no one really hears about, and I like seeing those. There's one that's become popular, American Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
That one's actually really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen King wrote one of them, or started it.
Mm.
Heard the ball rolling. That.
My history with graphic novels and comics and stuff has been a bit sort of like, again, I could almost see myself, before I got too much into them, I could almost see that if I started, I wasn't going to know where to stop. So I never really allowed myself to get, I think it, if I'd had a guide, when I decided I was going to look into it, I didn't know anybody else who did read them. So I just felt a bit sort of, where do I start? Which one do I even want? I think I tried some Spider-Man ones, but then I met this, there was a guy, this was when I was back at school, there was a guy in this comic shop, and he kind of said, I got you hooked now. And the way he said it made me kind of think, no, I can see that he's right, but I need to stop. And I was always hoping I'd meet somebody who perhaps would guide me and say, no, you should stick to this, you read like this. I have read a few things, like graphic novels like Ghost World and V for Vendetta and the odd sort of standalone things. And I did start reading The Walking Dead, but I really liked the artist who did the early, like the first four volumes, and then the guy who took over, for whatever reason, I just didn't like his artwork as much, but it's probably heresy to say it, but I think between you and I, the guy who drew the early volumes, he drew the guys much, they looked a lot more hotter than how the later guy. I was like,
Taylor loves the Walking Dead comic books. I think he'll agree with you. He thinks that art, like everyone looks the same, so he has a hard time sometimes telling them apart.
The
new art.
The early volumes, I was like sort of, he's all right.
But then they
stopped being as individual. But the other, I have tried to read Doctor Strange recently, and there was no particular reason, but I think the movie had come out, but I hadn't seen it. But I sort of the name sort of came, and I thought of. I often find myself looking at Wikipedia and getting quite, you know, you start looking at one thing, and then 2 hours later you've you know the whole history of comic books or whatever, or, you know, not that would be possible that quickly, but you know what I mean. So I did buy a couple of Doctor Strange comics, but digitally, so I've got them on my iPhone to read, which is probably not the best. And I did buy a collected works of like the first 2 years or whatever, this really nice hardback colour edition of that. So I'm not saying I won't, I'm going to do it slow time now, but I have got some sort of ones I want to focus on to see how. Because I thought Doctor Strange is not one you hear much about over here, so
right.
I thought I want to go for one that's a bit more, yeah, that's a little bit more mystery, at least even if just to myself, about what I'm going to be finding out. But
actually, I also wanted to read Doctor Strange. He's not... He's more of a background character here also, but he's become really popular lately. But yeah, even though I love the X-Men, the comic books that I do like are the ones that are not superhero focused, but focused in another way. So those are also, those are interesting to me. And I can't remember the names out of the top of my head. There's one of a few kids in a haunted mansion that is kind of scary or some way, and I forgot the name of the comic.
It's sort of finding these ones that are a little bit different.
But
I even tried to write sort of like years ago. Tried to write my own version of a superhero, but with friends. But it's a bad matter of not sort of doing the same formula each time, trying to make it as different as possible. And
right.
when the characters are so invincible, it's a matter of sort of, you know, are they always going to escape at the end of the story? Or, you know, I mean, and sometimes I quite like that. It makes it easier not to have to write a definitive ending if you know, your foe can be vanquished, but they get away to come back another day. But it's quite difficult writing those sort of stories to do them satisfactorily. But what other sort of do you read novels? I was talking to Taffy about autobiographies because she's really into them, and I'm going through a stage of reading a lot of autobiographies. Do you read fiction much, or
fiction? I haven't read in a while. The last book I was trying to read was Son of a Witch. I haven't finished that one.
No.
But if books like The Night Circus, I've loved. What else? I know there's more. Damn it, my mind is a blank today. I mean, obviously, I've read the Harry Potters.
Yeah.
That's the one recent I read was the script, was the new book.
Funnily enough, I was recording with my niece earlier, and she took me to the Harry Potter website. She wanted me to find out which Harry Potter house, which Hogwarts house I would be part of, and I followed this. I answered all these questions, made all these choices, and I was from Gryffindor, and she was Slytherin, and she was very. She said she disowned me. So, but well, Slytherin's really bad, isn't it? So,
I get put in Hufflepuff all the time. So.
Yeah.
I guess it keeps coming to my mind is The Night Circus. I just really, really love that book. Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Oh, yes. I did own that
one. That was a hard read, but it was really good.
Yeah, I think I owned that, and I tried to read it in the bath, but it was quite a big book, and it kept getting it wet, and it kept getting sort of puffier and puffier until it was like too big. It sucked up all the water from the bath. I think they made a TV show of that over here. I haven't seen.
Yeah, it was close. It wasn't that close, but it was close to work.
Yeah. The books that I really like, I do find I don't really go back to books that often, but one series I do love is the Tales of the City books by the Armistice Maupin books. And they're partly because they're about the sort of gay lifestyle in the 70s and 80s, and the characters are. It's a bit like reading a soap opera, and because each chapter is really short because the early books were written for publication in a magazine, so I can go back to those. When I first read them, there were only, I think there were six books, and he's written three more recently, so it's kind of nice having read those first six to then suddenly find, okay, there's some more ones coming along. And at the time I read the first six, I thought that was the end. I think he thought that was the end. I think if due to popular demand, he wrote some more. But
have you ever read a book that was printed, you know, a long time ago and tried to read it but had a hard time reading it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, virtually anything that's published before the beginning of the 20th or early 20th century, I struggle with. I mean, I had to do stuff at school, but, you know, even things like Dickens, and unless somebody made me do it, I kind of got past the point of feeling bad about not reading some classic literature, because, you know, I know I like contemporary fiction, and if I come to it, I know my mind is a bit magpie, and anything could trigger me off at some point. By suddenly, wow, I must read some Charles Dickens. It hasn't happened yet, but there are lots of things that I've been into briefly, or, you know, for a while, which I would have said I'm never going to be interested in that, but I was for a few months. So I'm yet to sort of get there, but who knows, maybe it'll happen. I did work in a library which had a good fiction section, so that did broaden me. I used to read sort of Agatha Christie and Stephen King, and if I got an author into my head, I'd read everything they did, so it would take quite a while. So working in the fiction section for a while, I did try different authors, but I do like to try new books if I'm going to read fiction, rather than going back to sort of the really old stuff. But that other people can do that.
I mean, I tried reading, for the name of the writer, the one that does Cthulhu.
Oh yeah, is that H.P. Lovecraft?
Or is that? Yes, H.P. Yes. Lovecraft. I can't believe I forgot his name. I tried reading those. I couldn't get through them. Mm. I don't know if it was the language barrier. You know, like not language barrier. Excuse me, but the way it was written at the time. Because I guess I'm used to another way of reading things.
Yeah,
that was harder. But yet, I could read Shakespeare, and I love Shakespeare because it seems easy to me. It's, you know, but I don't know.
I had trouble with Shakespeare, but that's partly, I think, because it was forced on us at school so much, so I didn't come to it naturally. And then because we did quite a few, I kind of felt, okay, well, I don't have any immediate wish to try others. Although I've been to it, if friends who've sort of done Andram performances, I've gone to see them in things. So I probably have seen one or two more than the ones I did at school. But I've got like a big collection of H.P. Lovecraft that look really nice, and it's really, but it, again, it's almost too big a book to. It's not one you can carry around, and I've sort of not started it yet. And I think, like you say, sometimes the language does. It is.
I mean, they're interesting.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to read those, but it's a little tough.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you. I think we just have the one last number.
Good.
And that's number 8, and that it sort of rounds out nicely. I just wonder what your history was with podcasting prior to doing your own show. How did you listen to lots of shows before you decided to do your own show? Or
I've listened to Pride 48 really opened up what podcasts are all about. And before I didn't know what podcasts were before I met Taylor. When I met Taylor, I go, you know, for the first time, that was, I don't know, 10 years ago, I said, what is a podcast? And that intrigued me since then, and I started listening to all types of, from This American Life to Big Fatty.
Yeah.
So, and I love the serial podcasts, which they have like little stories.
Mm-hmm.
In the back, I think Tannis is one of them, and the Bright Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ones right now, but I love listening to those, and I think those seem more interesting to me. Those story podcasts where they have a story every serial podcast, whatever you want to call them, that they have one every show.
I like so many different types of podcasts. I didn't want my show to be one type of podcast. I wanted to let it do what I like from week to week, and sort of enjoy different aspects of the sorts of podcasts I enjoy. But I originally, the first podcast I listened to was a horror podcast that about slasher movies, but partly because a friend of mine was one of the co-hosts, and it's three gay guys, one straight guy, two of them in the States, two of them one of them in Dublin, one of them in Bristol in England, and so I listened to them. That was the only podcast I listened to for quite a while, and then then they sort of crossed over with Patrick from Scream Queens' show, and so I started listening to his show, and then I think Toppy was on one of his shows, and then I sort of just started discovering Pride 48, and I've sort of pretty much listened to all the main shows now, and I'm gone back to the start with Pod as my co-pilot. I was saying to Taffy, you have to sometimes remember that I'm listening to the current shows, but then I'm also listening to shows from around the time when your name first appears on the show, so after the first year or so. I'm literally about almost 10 years apart in what I'm listening to. And of course, I downloaded a chunk of the early ones, but I don't want to fill my phone with. Perhaps I do 10 old ones, and then when I get through them, I'll of course I have the new ones coming in. Sometimes I'm listening to a current one, and then of course it goes on to the next one, which is then 10 years before. And it's like, oh no, we're back in 2008 now.
A lot of people have done that with Pod as my co-pilot. They go back, all the way back. Because I guess it is recording the history week by week for them. And they are brutal to me. They are brutal. They make so much fun of me.
No.
I love them.
Yeah. I think that's quite a popular thing, as you say. Even with my show, I find sometimes I go look at the particularly when I release a new show, that seems to be when people might get some new listeners perhaps, and then suddenly you see, my God, they've downloaded 70 episodes in one go, or somebody has. You suddenly see you've got 70 new downloads in each episode, you never. So somebody's just filled their phone with 70 of my episodes, or why their computer. But that's kind of really cool, because that's why I'm very keen to keep. I think it's really good if you can make your old shows available still, because you'll still get new listeners, and the figures will still continue to go up, and, and the people are still interested. If you like a show, you want to hear as much as possible, and once a week isn't always enough.
Yes.
So do you think there's any chance that you will return to podcasting, or as you say, do you think that really is, you've done what you... I've deliberately kept some of your episodes. I listened to a lot of them, but then when you stopped at the end of season one, I thought, I'm going to eat these out a bit, because they won't, I don't know when you're going to come back. So I've still got sort of half a dozen left, which I'm keeping for special occasions.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. If I do, I want to do it with other co-hosts and talk about, certain things. But it's very hard for me to do it by myself and think of something. I have to, when I did this podcast by myself, I had to actually write an outline of what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I didn't want to write a script. I wanted to write more like a bullet point outline. And it was just hard to think of ideas. And I think I said what I wanted to say, and that is pretty much my diary in a broad sense. If I do go back, it'll either be a story podcast or a podcast about video games. I have no idea. Or something stupid, like something nerdy.
I think it would be good if you did something with a co-host or different co-hosts, or think of me if you need a co-host for an episode, if you do decide to do that. So I'd like to be your co-host. That's quite popular at the moment. Anyway, there's quite a few shows that are doing that, with trying different co-hosts, and it's interesting, because I think, and you also get to hear these different voices, and it also opens up the possibility of hearing new voices that from shows you didn't know about. I think often listening to different Pride 48 podcasts is a bit like with comics, where you've got, read Spider-Man, and then it links into, Wonder Woman appeared in this one, or whatever. I don't know if that's even possible, but you know what I mean. Sometimes you get cameos, and you kind of definitely found that, because people were mentioned. I think I listened to Cocktails and Cream Puffs, and that's probably how I heard about Pod as my co-pilot. So it's sort of the banter between the shows and stuff. and you sort of think, oh, I want to, who's that person speaking? I want to find out about them. Or, yeah. Thank you very much. And maybe if I can think of some new questions, you'll come back on the show at some other point, and that would be cool. I shall give you a detailed description of European cities that you can go to.
Right, no problem.
Well, have a good rest of your weekend.
It was a great joy recording and actually recording a podcast and recording with you. So,
well, thank you very much for being great. I'll speak to you again, hopefully. And
okay, no problem.
Okay, have a good rest of the weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye for now. Bye now.
Hello, it's me, Comedy. I have been listening to your episode with great interest. Yes. Yes. This is Mr. Babalu. Yes, he seems very interesting, but I wondered, had he ever considered, like, being part of experiments, you know? I mean, helping me. What did you think I meant? No, I need an assistant. Yes, I need an assistant. Maybe I should look closer to home, though. Maybe I should ask Yeti Uncle John. Maybe even Ick. No. I'm not sure that Ick trusts me. No. I suppose I should... I will tell you more about my experiments soon. But, yes, I'm at slightly loose end ever since Bald Sasquatch went to the other dimension. Well, you know, for so long, I was searching, ever searching. And then we found him, and then he went away. Yes, oh well. Anyway, good show, Paul. Good show. I'm enjoying it. I shall see you soon. Yes, okay.
Hello, Paul. It is me, Ick. How are you? I very much enjoyed hearing your interview with your friend. I wish you had, allowed me to speak to him. It would have been nice to have asked him some questions. I have so many questions, you see. It is interesting. For a minute, when I heard his voice, I thought, is that James and Tim, Tim and James? But of course I realized, no, of course not. But Babalu is from the same country, just not the same side of the country. But, you know, he seems very nice. What is it called again? The United States. Yes, the USA. Is that how you say it? I'm never sure. Anyway, I would like to travel more, I think. I'm going to have to visit some of your Pride 48 podcasters. I really must. Yes. And, maybe in the next few weeks I will look into that, of course. I really want to see James and Tim. Tim and James! From Castle Burning, best of all. They are my favourites. I cannot help it. Although I'm very fond of Toppy Smelly, of course. Especially as he sent me the peepers. Oh, yes. Anyway, I should go. Thank you, Paul, for the show. Thank you, Babalu. Yes. Maybe we will meet one day. Yes. Okay.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics, and others, too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
one of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
Oh dear, Ick, I was hoping to get you, but I seem to have missed you again. But anyways, I wanted to tell you this. It's very important, dear. Well, I looked at all of the photo albums in my possession. And you know something? I couldn't find a single photo of my old alien beau, Ashley. Oh, dear, Ick, I could scarcely believe it. But you know what, dear? I remember quite some number of years ago, I tore them all out of my photo album, don't you know? Out of spite, I guess. I'm not sure. But do you know, Ick, there's not one single surviving photo of Ashley anywhere in my possession. Oh, this is a dead end, I'm afraid, dear Ick. Oh, well, I'll call you again. Oh, dear, I hope you're all right, dear. All right, bye-bye.
Well, that's about all we've got time for. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Thank you to the regulars. Thank you most of all to Bubbaloo for his interview. It was really good to have a chat, and I'm hoping we'll get to talk again sometime soon. It would be good if he could return to podcasting in some form, even if it's not the show how he used to do it. If I can help, I'll be happy to. Yes. Anyway, and next time, well, as you know, we never know for sure what's coming next. But there'll be something, and I hope you'll enjoy it. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode. So that's about it. So goodbye for now. Take care. See you again soon. Gotta go now!
I don't care!
Bye!
I want to talk with you!
Gotta go! Bye!
Goodbye!
Thank you, thank you!
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.
Okay, bye.
I have a couple of poems from you. No?
He's not that shy.
102.